GalaxyCon Live is the place for you to hear about fandom from the celebrities who bring geek culture to life.
Welcome, friends and fans, to another edition of GalaxyCon Live, where we are bringing the convention experience directly to you. And today, we are going back to the friendliest neighborhood in the world, with several cast members of Sesame Street. And today's episode is sponsored by the letters Q&A, for question and answer, and the number 8, which is the number of guests, and also the number for beginning with our first celebrity co-host. He is a writer, producer, and Jim Henson Legacy president, who literally wrote the book of the Muppets in the form of the Muppet Character Encyclopedia. Please welcome our co-host, Craig Shemin.
Hello. Thanks, Patty. It's great to be here.
Oh, thank you for having us here, boss. Yes, again, big fan of your work. So glad to have you here. As I described earlier, I will be the navigator and you will be our helmsman since you have worked with all these people for so often. I'm so glad to have you here. And again, the character encyclopedia is, yes, absolutely. You've literally written the book on this and it is the go-to and it is my go-to for gifts for people whenever I'm saying, hey, I'll this way too. So I always have three or four of them on hand already pre-wrapped.
Well, I appreciate that. I really
well,
do.
Well, I'm looking forward to getting my own personal copy autographed by you. But in the meantime, let's move on. Let's bring on the rest of this amazing group we have today. He is an actor and artist who joins us today to discuss the role of Army veteran and history teacher Gordon Robinson and occasionally space adventurer Trash Rock Gordon. Please welcome back Roscoe Orman.
Hello there.
Hi. Hey, Roscoe. Hey, Roscoe.
So glad to be here with you guys.
Oh, so glad to have you back. Everything is well in your part of the world?
Everything's good. Moving on up, you know.
Glad to hear it. Glad to see you in good health and good spirit. Yes. Welcome back.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And next, she is an actress who joins us to discuss her role as veterinarian, Dr. Gina Jefferson. Please welcome back, Allison Bartlett.
Hello, hello, hello. Hey. Hey. Thank you, Patty.
Oh, thank you. Oh, so glad to have you back. Everything is good with you?
Everything's great. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you for joining us once again. It's a pleasure to see you.
Happy to be here.
Oh, happy to have you back. And also happy to have our next guest. He is an actor who joins us to discuss the role of music teacher Bob Johnson. Please welcome for the first time on the GalaxyCon virtual stage, Bob McGrath.
Bob McGrath.
Oh, Bob, how are you?
I'm great. How are you, Patty?
I am doing well in my corner of the world. So glad to have you here for the first time. And just, it is an absolute treat. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us today.
Pleasure's all mine.
And the honor is mine. And next, he is a puppeteer performer whose latest series, Cave-In, can be found on YouTube. Today, he joins us to discuss his time on Sesame Street as the performer behind characters Ernie and Kermit the Frog. Please welcome back one of GalaxyCon's favorite guests, Steve Whitmire.
Hello, you guys. How exciting to be here with all you people.
Steve, how are you, boss?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Thank you for asking. And this is always so much fun. It's, you know, we don't always get to see each other in person, but it's so nice to have this little gathering just for us if nobody's watching.
Oh, they're watching, my friend. Well, trust me, they are watching. And next, she's an actress and puppeteer who joins us to discuss several Muppet characters, including Prairie Dawn and, of course, Zoe. Please welcome Fran Brill.
Fran.
Oh, Fran, how are you?
I'm great, Patty. How are you?
I am well in my corner of the world. It's 40 degrees here in Orlando, which to a Floridian is freezing. Oh, and to the rest of the world is shorts and t-shirts.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Well, Fran, so glad to have you here today. And next, he is a director, producer, and puppeteer who joins us to discuss several Muppet roles, including Benny Rabbit, Kingston, Livingston III, and of course, Elmo. Please welcome Kevin Clash.
Yay. Hey. Good to see everybody.
Good to have you here, Kevin. How are you?
Oh, I'm glad to be here.
Oh, so glad to have you here, boss. It's an absolute privilege. Hopefully we can get together sometime, maybe on one of our stages. Love to talk to you about all the other fine work you've done. Big Space Coaster fan as well, but that's a discussion for another day. And finally, he is an actor, filmmaker, and puppeteer whose career has cascaded across film and fandom. Today, he joins us to discuss his uncontested contributions to Sesame Street as several Muppet characters, including Bert, Cookie Monster, and of course, Grover. Please welcome Mr. Frank Oz.
Yay!
Hello. I didn't quite get the name.
I was told I was promised before I came on that Steve would cut his hair.
We're saving that for the end.
I thought you were going to grow it. I'm sorry.
Cut your hair and get a job, man.
All right. Rosco and Kevin thought you meant them. They got all confused.
Oh, my goodness. Frank, how are you, sir?
I'm great. Great to see buddies here like this. Elsa, I don't know you that well. How are y'all? But I'm very glad to meet you.
Same.
And it's fortunate for you, you're on the right side of my screen, and Kevin is way down below, so he won't bother you.
Yeah, no, he bothers me, but that's okay. He bothers me.
Well, distinguished guests, once again, thank you all for joining us here on the GalaxyCon virtual stage. Our team is going through the chat room right now, pulling out the questions for us. But in the meantime, I just want to put this on out on behalf of myself, the staff of GalaxyCon, and all the fans in attendance. I just want to say that there's no question that Sesame Street has made an international and worldwide contribution to just so much of culture and education and learning, and you are all a part of that. So as a Generation X kid and the first generation of Sesame Street viewers, I thank you all for your talents. I thank you all for your professionalism, and I thank you all for the performances that you brought to your various roles in Sesame Street.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Absolutely, very welcome. And I will now yield over to our co-host, Craig. Craig, start us off.
Well, thank you very much. I wanted to start with Bob, because unless I'm wrong, but Bob's was the first voice we ever heard on the pilot of Sesame Street. Mm-hmm. That was the voice that sang the Sesame Street theme. And also in my research for my new upcoming book, which Frank wrote the foreword for, I found out that it's quite possible Bob performed with the Muppets before anyone else here, because Jim used records from Sing Along with Mitch. And I think you may have done Songs of the Pogo. Were you on that?
Which record again?
The Pogo record, Walt Kelly's Pogo.
I think so.
Yeah. So it's quite possible Bob was performing with Jim before anyone else, even if he didn't know it. And even Jim didn't know it.
But I'll have to check my residuals, see whether I did or not.
Check your residuals, yes.
Bob, there you are. You're a legend singing in Japan in the 1960s. You're doing the Mitch Miller thing, and then you hear about this kid show happening. How did you get yourself into it? How did you get it?
Very reluctantly, actually, when I happened to bump into it was across the street from one of our first producers, and he said, "I'm getting involved in a new kid show. Do you think it'd be interested?" And I said, I had seen some kids' shows that I was not very impressed with. And I said, "No, not in the least. Thanks very much." And because at that point, I had been working in Japan, as you mentioned, and I was a big Andy Williams, Perry Como fan, both musically and the show and everything. And I was doing all of that with teenagers in Japan. I thought, I'll try and transfer all of that from Japan to here. But by then, the Beatles had arrived, and all of those shows went bye-bye. And after a couple of months, they called again and said, "Come on, we got a guy called Jim Hansen." I said, "Who's that? We got Muppets. What are they?" And I went in, and after about maybe 4.5 or 5 or 6 minutes, I said, "To heck with all that teenager stuff. This is what I want to do for the rest of my life." So it was an immediate conversion to.
Well, I'm glad that you did. Yeah, well, so, Frank, what was the first thing you heard about Sesame Street from Jim?
I'm sorry, who were you? You were what, Craig? What? No.
Don't you know me, Frank? You were here in my house. You were signing everything on the wall. I had to stop writing on things.
Could I have some respect? you know, as Franny knows, I mean, you didn't. Were we there the first year, Franny?
What?
Were you there the first year?
71.
Okay. Well, when I started, you know, we had done hundreds of commercials, and we were doing every single variety show there was. And so for me, this was just another gig. I had no idea what it was. I was just, Jim said, "Hey, let's do this." And so we did the pilot for Sesame Street. Mm-hmm. And then Sesame Street started, and it didn't stop. So it was, I worked for Jim. Jim turned out to be a very, a brother. But I still worked for him, as we all did. Mm-hmm. And he essentially said, "Okay, hey guys, we're doing this," and then we did it. It's pretty simple like that.
And did you think it was just going to be another job,
didn't think about it at all. I mean, we were working, you know, we worked flat out with Jim as Stevie and Kev and Franny know. So it was just, you know, exciting. It was just fun. It was a lot of fun to do because of the guys and brothers and sisters underneath the puppets. So I didn't think much about it.
And is it true that Jim may have talked to you originally about doing this Big Bird character that he had in mind?
There's no way. I'm sorry. I used to do things like the Jim put me in costumes like the La Troy Dragon commercial, and I hated it. And I remember doing with Jerry Nelson, Thig and Thog and the Christmas Carol, and I hated it. And of course, he reveled in me going into costumes, and I just said, no, I'm not going to do it.
Well, at least you're honest.
and scatological at the same time.
Yes. So Fran.
Yes.
So you're coming, you're actress, you get to New York to do Red, White, and Maddox.
I came to New York with Red, White, and Maddox. Yes.
Which was the long running hit musical.
That 41 performances, yes.
Wow.
Well, you know what? It was a fantastic show. But the problem was we opened in a blizzard. And so that kept a lot of people away. But no, it had its problems. I don't think it was meant to be on Broadway.
And you came to Sesame Street through an audition for Muppets, for Jim.
Yeah, I kind of first thought I was auditioning to just do voices because I assumed that somebody manipulated and somebody else did the voices. And I saw these cartoons or animated things on it the first year. And I thought, well, it'd be fun to do this. You know, maybe they need me for voices. And then it turned out to be puppeteering, which I had to learn. But I learned from the best, obviously. Mm-hmm. And I kind of tripped and fell into the job. But it was probably the best thing that ever happened to me.
I think you were first on the Muppet Musicians of Bremen, or Santa Claus Switch.
Santa Claus Switch, yes. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That was the first job with Art Carney, if anybody remembers Art Carney.
Our Cosmo Scam.
Wow.
Now, Roscoe, I want to move to you. You were Gordon number three?
Three. Yes.
And the third is always the best.
You can't have enough.
There's a charm.
Three is a charm, yes.
Now, I want to, let's talk about you joining Sesame Street. Is after Willie Dynamite?
Yes.
Or just, I want to say, if anybody hasn't watched Willie Dynamite, is an amazing movie. It's one of my favorite movies.
What a transformation from Willie Dynamite. Yeah, I was, you know, blessed to get this gig as, you know, the titular character of the blaxploitation film of Willie Dynamite. And I had a ball with my co-star, Diana Sands, who was a wonderful actor, and just a wonderful human being, and so many others, you know. And I assumed that I would have a Hollywood career at that point, and turned out that that was not cards, you know, because they had done out in that during that period so many films in those genres of, you know, the pimps and the characters of who would. There it is.
Yeah. Tied together and mean.
I had my whole stable right there. Yes. and I thought that I would actually get another gig, if not in that vein, at least something. But it didn't work out. And I came back east and stumbled upon this wonderful street, Sesame Street, you know.
Now, the look that you have, did you do that for Willie Dynamite?
Or yes, I did that specifically for Willie Dynamite, yes.
And then they just said, we want you to stay.
Just to keep the bald head, yes, you know, which I had. And my dear friend, Matt Robinson, as you all know, was the Gordon. But he was not really interested in performing. He was a writer, producer, you know, just a genius in terms of that kind of work. And they decided to look for someone who could perform the role on a different level. And I just happened to be in the right place at the right time, I guess.
Well, and I think it's wonderful because I think on behalf of, you know, a certain generation of kids, I remember watching Sesame Street as a kid, and I never treated it as a show. It was a place to me.
A place.
And it was because of specifically the human cast members, because you know that there's only one of them. And I want to move over to Kevin, because I'm doing this kind of chronologically. And your road to Sesame Street sort of came by way of Captain Kangaroo, right?
Yeah, I did Captain Kangaroo because I had a mentor in Baltimore who, Stu Kerr, who was my mentor, and he told Bob Keeshan about me. And Bob said, well, show me some footage. And so Stu sent some footage up, and Bob liked it. So I got to go up to, I started going up to New York and doing some guest spots. I was Kevin, the college student.
So you were a person and a puppet.
I was a person, yeah. And I actually built puppets for the show. And Gus Allen Gretty puppeteered some of the characters that I did and stuff like that. It was amazing. It was wonderful to be around Lumpy Brenham, who played Mr. Green Jeans, and it's a wonderful group. And they really took me under their wings, which is great. Through that, of course, I wanted to do Sesame Street. I wanted to perform on Sesame, and I got to meet Kermit Love and talk to Sesame about it. The first year, I couldn't really do it because they had already cast everybody. But then they had me come in and do some auditioning. And what they were doing is, that's when Karen Prell came in and Michael Earle, because Jim and Frank were going their way to do movies with the Muppets. And so they needed new puppeteers. And so I was doing this. They had me do this character called Warner Wolf. Let's go to the videotape. And, you know, that was supposed to take over for Kermit.
Anyone out of New York should know that Warner Wolf was a big
sportscaster
for a time.
Yeah, which did not work. And I did a character called Hoots that actually stuck to a certain extent.
Oh,
I did another character called Ferlinghetti Donizetti that rhymed. He didn't last, but Hoots did. And then I was at Sesame, and I think Brian Mule, who was one of the puppeteers on Sesame, amazing puppeteer. He was doing a lot of characters, and also he was doing some stuff with Jim outside of Sesame. He was the first one to work this little red monster. And it was a little wispy voice and stuff like that. And then he went on, he left the show and went on to pursue his writing and acting. And then Richard Hunt, the absorbent Richard Hunt, took over Elmo. And he literally started screaming with him. Yes. And it was the head writer at the time. He said, he would call him and he said, why is Richard screaming? This doesn't work for the character. And so we have a green room that we all stay in. This Muppet green room that we all stay in. And Richard bought the Muppet, and it was hanging upside down by the arm rods. And he threw it to me and he told me, come up with a voice. And I did the voice. He said, come with me. And Lisa Simon, who was the producer and she was directing at the time, she said, listen, you know, Norman doesn't like me doing this. I don't really need to do it. Do the voice. I did the voice. She said, I don't care. And that's how it happened.
Don't care. Just do it.
And of course, Allison.
Know, I mean, we all know that, you know, Richard Hunt, if Richard can't do it, what can I do? So fortunately, it worked out for me.
Now, Allison, I want to move over to you. And I've seen the evidence of this, so I can vouch for it. But you were really destined to be on Sesame Street from when you were a little kid. So I'd love for you to talk about your pre-Sesame Street story.
Sure. So yeah, I think you're talking about the Macy's Day Parade, right? So I mean, I grew up watching the show completely, and it was a real safe haven for me. Much like you said, Craig, it wasn't a show. It was a place with people and men that cared and father figures that cared. So it took over my entire world. And there's videos somewhere. My father and I remember we would watch home movies. There's home movies of me at, I think I'm four. We saw them.
Yep.
So I want to say I'm four and I'm on CPW Central Park West and I'm in a mud. And you know, the Sesame Street, the float comes by and Willie jumps off the float and shakes my hand. And, and I'm four in this loft. And, you know, John Stone tells a story of that actual parade where he was playing Oscar throwing garbage. He was the one playing Oscar throwing garbage at the, you know, people at the parade. So that's where it started. And then obviously I watched it. I kept watching it because, like I said, so I would come home from, you know, grammar school, junior high school. It was just, you know, for me, there was a safety in it. And then I was very typecast in roles. I was doing Jodie Foster roles. I started acting when I was 12. So I was on off-Broadway and Broadway, and I was playing prostitutes, and I was playing young girls who were chopping their boys there. My agent said, you need something on your resume that shows something different so people aren't scared of you. Or like, wow. And I was like, all right, do whatever you got to do. And they said there was a one-day audition for Sesame Street. I was going to LaGuardia High School. I cut class. I hope no one who goes to LaGuardia is watching this. I like went down, went across the street to the audition. There's like big dumpsters where you can go in the basement. So I ran across Broadway to the audition, almost left because I was comparing and despairing. I was like, no one looks like me. I hate everyone. F you, F you. I was about to leave, literally. And they called me in. Kev, you were there. Were you on the audition?
No, not with you.
You were on the first day of the set. But anyway,
yeah, first day of the set.
Very similar. John was there, Arlene Sherman, Lisa Simon. And yeah, that was it. It was a one-day gig to play Roscoe's student. And
wow, that's right.
I guess they accepted the messy, frightened, imperfect me that I was about to leave. And they create, and Nancy Sands then just molded this character.
Mm. Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean,
that's great.
Yeah.
So Steve, we're all just about ready for fan questions, but I want to talk to you about you coming in. I think it was around 1993.
Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah. So Jim had passed away and his characters were not yet come to Sesame Street. They had not yet returned to Sesame Street. Can you talk a little bit about you coming in with that responsibility?
Yeah. I think at that point, you know, after Jim was gone, I'm not sure Ernie was going to continue. But what was going on, there were a lot of toy records that needed to be done, you know, do the vocals for toys. And I did a couple of years of that before there was any talk of the character actually coming back to the show. So I've been trying to just really learn, you know, as best I could, the sound of what Ernie did. And it's surprising how much that would help with a character. God, you know, the name's gone out of my head. There was a lady who's the lady who did all our toys back then?
Oh, she was great.
She passed away. Yeah. I'm so sorry. I can't remember because I loved her. And it's just,
we all worked with her. I can't remember what her name is.
Yeah. She would really, you know, if I didn't sound right, she wasn't going to accept it. And she really, it was like going to Ernie boot camp. And I used to love to do a tour record with her prior to going on the set the next day, because I was like there by the time I was done with the tour record, you know. Mm.
So Steve and Frank, how was it when you first started working together doing Ernie and Bert?
I have to let Frank answer that.
Well, you know, Steve and I knew each other, you know, already. Yeah. So it was not like a stranger. Right. So, but, you know, when you work with anybody, the rhythms are different. Yeah. You know, so it was... You know, as far as a performance goes, I mean, he was right on, but as Stevie knows, you just can't fall into that. You got to work on it, you know, and work on it. And so, geez, I've forgotten it was so long ago. Stevie, do you remember how long we did it for?
I feel like we did insert days, you know, we'd come up and work for a few days, probably for several years. But I mean, I can only imagine at this stage, in my life, how hard it must have been for you. You know, we had just lost Jim, and suddenly there's this new guy coming in trying to step into that.
Yeah, but you weren't a new guy.
No, but I mean, new with the character. I know what you mean. Well, we certainly knew each other and worked together. We'd already worked together. I guess we'd already worked together with Kermit. I don't know. Anyway, but you know, still, I know how hard it is. You know, to find that new rhythm.
Well, it's just what it is. It's just what it was. You know. And thank God it wasn't a stranger I was working with, you know?
Yes.
So, Patty, let's bring in some questions from the audience.
Sounds good.
Yeah, we did. You blanked out for a minute.
I'm sorry. I had the blues off when that happens.
She was starting a show in a snowstorm, remembering a blizzard.
Oh, right.
She should have gotten a theater. They probably could have gotten a theater, but they did it in a blizzard. I don't know. Right.
Can I say one more thing?
40, yes, 40
we're sure. Not going to stop you.
Let me just say one more thing. I really did hate those... The character, because I did too much of them with Jim, and he loved the fact that I hated him. But the world is so lucky, because Carol found something in Big Bird in that character that I could never have gotten. Some sort of
totally.
He dug deep into some sort of naivete that was innate in him. And thank God I didn't do it, because whatever he did was much more pure than I would have done.
I think Debbie Spinney is watching. So Debbie, if you're watching, we're all thinking of Carol.
And you too, Debbie.
Absolutely.
Yes.
All right, Producer Paul, go ahead, let's roll our first question from our audience. And this comes from Brian, who wants to know, what does everybody have a favorite song from the series?
Wow.
Franny?
I would say, I think the title of it is I'd Like to Swing on a Star.
I don't, or I Don't Want to Live on the Moon.
That's probably it.
I speak Brill, so I can interpret.
I think that is just
beautiful. Oh, it's pretty. Yeah. Mm. It's a good one. Is that just Joe Raposo as well, right? I mean, did Joe do that?
Joe
Raposo. I should know that. But
Anyone else?
Well, I certainly think Green.
Yeah, I mean, those two are my favorites by far.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I know that
it's not that easy being green. Absolutely.
And Rubber Ducky.
Music from Christmas Eve on Sesame Street is really beautiful. True Blue Miracle. Oh,
yeah. True Blue Miracle is beautiful.
Keep Christmas with you. Speaking of Christmas.
Great
song. And also, I have to say, Bob, you know, whenever you start singing People in Your Neighborhood.
That's pretty.
It's like a little. Yeah. When you start the
I used to love One of These Things. I had a great time.
Really? Yes.
One of These Things. And Ladybug Picnic was one of the other favorites.
Yeah, that's great.
It was great.
You know, do you remember back in the very early shows, I was 10 or 11 years old, and I seem to remember, Frank, you'll obviously know this, but didn't you guys do a lot of musical numbers of, like, you just did Beatles songs and Octopus's Garden and stuff like that, and it ended up on the show? You probably couldn't do that.
And of course, Chris Surf stuff, you know, were brilliant, like Let Her Be, and, you know.
Well, the parodies as well.
We did do that. Yes, I remember.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what the whole legal situation
was. Let Her Be, I remember that.
Yeah.
Octopus's Garden, absolutely,
Yeah.
I think in the very beginning, I would talk to some of the music folks, and there wasn't enough time to develop the original stuff, stuff to launch the show. So they had to do those covers. And I want to say that what's really special about those songs is that they come out of character, like, Doing the Pigeon and See Is for Cookie and Frank's Numbers.
Yeah.
They're so character based.
Yeah.
Yes. I got to do one called Thoughts Come From Your Head with Diane Shore. That was a beautiful, that actually, oh my goodness, I can't remember the one of the arrangers from Sesame. He's not with us anymore.
Yeah. Was it Danny?
No, I'll think about it. I'll come up with it later. But it was a beautiful song. And we actually got to sing it with Diane Shore, too. It was a beautiful, beautiful jazz song.
And Jeff Moss wrote some beautiful stuff, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I think it was Jeff Moss's song. Yes, it was Jeff Moss's song. Thoughts Come From Your Head. Yep.
Good. Roscoe, do you have a favorite?
Yes. Actually, I'm trying to remember who the composer was, a writer, but A Kid Like You was the title.
I love that song.
You sang it with Miles, with
mother.
Yes, with my son Miles, just singing, how wonderful it is to be a parent to a little kid, and it's just, I'm sure there were lots of tears in people's eyes at home, talking, thinking about, how wonderful that is.
Absolutely. One that I really loved that came off the Broadway show is Like Living Us. Good Morning Starshine.
Which I believe was on your album that you did, your Sesame album, Bob Sings.
Yeah, great song. But the Yip Yip Muppets, what really made that song just ensconced with Muppets coming out of my nose.
Yeah, there were a lot of Muppet hippies in that number, if I recall.
John Legend did a song that actually Gina, it was called Hello Little One, where Gina had adopted, I think, adopted a little a Latino Marco? Child, Marco, and you was in his arms, and he sang over the shot of you looking at your adopted child. It's beautiful. It's called Hello, Little One.
Well, look at that.
Wow.
Beautiful. Wow.
I'm sure he was amazing.
He was.
Steve, do we get one from you?
Besides the spit take.
I drink Windex when I'm nervous. Well, a favorite song, God. I mean, you know, it was every single song. I mean, I love Manamana. I don't know that it actually came from Sesame Street, right, Frank? I don't know. But that my first awareness of Manamana was Sesame Street. I loved Grover singing Sometime When I'm All Alone. I thought that was a great number. But I don't want to overlook probably Frank's most important character, which was Professor Hastings. That made quite an impression on me as a 12-year-old.
Can I just make a point? And this is off the point of the song, but I'll be very quick. If people don't know, in the Sesame Street room there, we have a whole wall of dead Muppets.
Yes.
And those are the Muppets that just didn't work. And I have many in there.
Is that where Sam the Robot ended up?
Yeah, it is, actually.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
We mentioned Sam the Robot. And before we get to the next question, let's talk a little bit about Jerry Nelson.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, of course.
Oh,
who did Sam, and is such an important part of the show. Does anybody have a quick Jerry Nelson story?
Oh, God.
Growing up, when watching the show before I did the show, I just listened to him, just when I would hear him do Snuffy, and he would say, "I'm sadly glad." I always remembered that. His Snuffy was just so beautiful, so poignant.
Well, he was probably the most amazing of us in that his range was so vast. Yes,
absolutely.
Amazing. So vast.
Yes.
And, you know, in this thing Muppet Guy was talking, he told, I know why he got upset, because whenever we did dozens of the Grover restaurant, and he was Fat Blue. And he would get so annoyed because he wanted to go home, and I kept on wanting to take that. But of course, as I said, all he did was just sit there in a chair. I had spaghetti and going announce. Yes. He was fine, but he had such an incredible range. There are some things he's done that just are
beautiful. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Even the count's voice was amazing.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Linda Bove was an enormous addition to the show.
Oh, Linda, yes.
Yep.
Yes.
And they had me take sign language so we could do things like hello, and I did it in concerts all the time. And then I just say, does anybody know what this means? And the whole audience would say hello.
Oh, wow.
They knew a lot of sign language as a result of Linda being on the show. We missed her a lot when she left.
Very nice.
Do we have another question?
Yes, we do. Well, first of all, Brian, thank you. Great question. And my personal favorite is the Capital I song because it's so haunting and almost cult-like. And let's go ahead and roll another one. From Todd, besides your own characters, do each of you have a favorite Muppet?
Yes. Mine is Grover. Grover, anytime. Grover.
Yeah, mine too.
Me too. I think, me too.
Frank did something. I was really at the beginning of being on Sesame Street, and he was in the tub. Frank was underneath the tub, but Grover was in the tub, and he had a mortarboard on, and it was that thing that he does where, you know, he thinks he knows something, but it's totally wrong. And he's just, you know, he's there, and we stopped shooting, and he was just, you know, still had him up. And Frank just slowly had Grover go down to where you just saw the mortarboard, and it looked like it was the mortarboard was just floating on the top of the water. You could, you know, just watching him do whatever, it's just amazing. But it was really funny to me. I remember that. Definitely.
Yes. Yeah.
But Grover is my favorite.
Yeah.
Yes.
Frank always a good one too.
You know, I have bizarre favorites. Like, you know, I oh yeah, I like him. He had his funeral. It's okay. I had odd characters. I mean, I love Prairie Dawn because I love the fact that
she's Dawn,
and we were just totally screwing around, and she put that patch on. She got so strident, so annoyed with us. Also, what I really loved, I loved two of them, which is odd, but I loved Jerry's horse. Grover was on a horse. Marshall Grover, and I loved Jerry's horse. But I also loved Richard Hunt's Dawn music. I love
Dawn. Yeah.
Dawn music.
Flamingo.
I was one of the kids that when I saw a piano, I would run up to it and
See, it's your fault that
it's my fault. It's my generation's fault.
It was Dom music was hysterical.
Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness!
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Oh, I want to ask you real quick about doing the Grover segments that you do with the real kids, with the little kids, especially in like Christmas Eve on Sesame Street. I mean, it looks like it's both a joy and a challenge for you as a performer. Could you talk a little bit about doing those?
I think what happened was, I would be there and we'd stop the inserts or the street or whatever it was we were shooting, and we'd have an hour or so to do this. And John would have like six little kids who were really delightful. And a couple of them, were so involved with looking at the monitor and the cameras, it didn't work, which is understandable. But a few of them were extraordinary. And what would happen is I would have an ear set here and I would hear John. I would ask John what he'd like me to talk about. And John would say, let's just do the numbers or let's do happy and sad, whatever else. And then I would just riff with a little child. And as long as, they couldn't see the monitor, they totally stuck with Grover. And it was very sweet because there's one called John John, the very beginning of Sesame Street.
Yeah. John Williams.
John was so sweet.
John Williams.
Later coming in and he was part of the Air Force. I thought, holy cow, what happened?
Yes.
And I remember this one little girl, and I won't take this time because everybody else needs to talk, but this one little girl was talking. She said, I know all the planets. And she named all the planets, and she said, there's one that her daddy wouldn't let her tell. And she whispered to me, she said, I can't say Uranus.
I
thought that was hysterical, but she whispered very loudly on the show. It was just the kids believing, and it happened with Harry Monster Harry did, and it happened with Kermit that Jim did. It was just, and it's not just kids; it's adults.
Yeah,
we have to say something about ourselves. We are very good at what we do. And that means we transcend what these characters are and make them come alive. And they are an alive entity to people.
Yep.
And so, because we believe in them. Right. And so as a result of that, when you feel that way and you've worked on your craft for so many years, then the child can believe in it. And then you just riff.
Yeah. And I also want to say how important it is that, the relationships between the human cast and the Muppets also is so important to keeping that that street alive.
Yeah.
Well, Frank, over and over and over throughout the years, I've always gotten asked the question as an actor, well, what was it like working with a Muppet? And exactly to your point, I always want to respond, I don't really know what you're asking me, because it was a soul-to-soul connection. There wasn't, once all of you connected hand to heart, there it wasn't a Muppet. It was a soul-to-soul connection.
Yeah, if you can answer that, then we didn't do our job.
It's all about the characters.
If you can answer that question, we didn't do our job.
There you go. Because I was always saying, I'm not okay. Well, I don't know. I agree with you. And you just worded it so perfectly. Now I'm going to quote you when I'm asked, but I'm going to take what you said. But that is exactly how I felt for 30 years of interviews. So yes.
Well, you look at Franny and Stevie and Kevin and Jim and Richie, of course, and God, Jerry Nelson. I mean, people don't understand that. I mean, it took me 10 years. I didn't do voices for 4 years. So I was scared of death. And then it took me 10 years at least to know the craft of it. And then after that, after 10 years of learning, understanding the craft, then I started going. It was only after about 15, 20 years I could really feel comfortable, and these people. And it's not just putting on a puppet. It's learning the craft, so you don't have to think about the craft. Mm. Just do it, and so people
piano or something
quite realize that.
Yeah.
Well, you did it. So. You all did it.
Yes, you
did. I had a wonderful moment. I was sitting on the steps with a little guy, and he was looking up above, and he said, "Oh, that's where they go." And I'm looking up. I said, "What?" He said, that's where all of Alphabet Bates letters go. And was when the show was dark, where there was a game show in there, and they had applause signs up there, and it was really.
And with that, unfortunately, it's just about our time to go. Todd, wow. Great question. Thank you so much for that. And yes. GalaxyCon viewers, this has been my time with the cast of Sesame Street. Craig, once again, thank you for guiding me through all this.
My pleasure.
One of the panelists, thank you all for joining us here on the GalaxyCon virtual stage. Any final words for our audience before we take our leave?
Bye.
Thank you.
I'd like to thank Tim Betting and James Mullen, the in-person productions, for helping put this together and get all of us together. It was great.
Yes.
It was you, Kevin, who got all this together.
I just want to say how jealous I always am of Sko, because Sko is so freaking cool. Look at him.
No, so annoying.
Oh, really?
Jeez. Yeah, you're always Mr. Cool. It's like, Mr. Cool. Man, I want to be him.
I like that. Yes. That's cool.
Maybe
I like being
Dynamite.
Dynamite. That's the guy.
Yeah. Friends, it's been my absolute pleasure to serve you. Once again, thank you for joining us on the GalaxyCon virtual stage. Thank you to our audience for joining us, and thank you so much for your great questions. Hope to see everybody again soon. Until then, bye-bye, take care, and remember, smiles are free. Spend them often.